Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Go Blue with Stu. I am your host, Stuart Douglas. Today we got athletic writers and podcasters of The Beat. We got Brendan Quinn and Nick Baumgartner. How's it going, fellas?
Good, Stu.
Good, good. We're both writers, podcasters, life partners. That's us.
In general.
Brothers? I heard. I saw brothers in the comments section. Mm-hmm.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug, man.
Brothers got a hug.
Nick gets so uncomfortable. Nick gets so uncomfortable if you try to hug him, though. Wait, it's great.
Yeah, Brendan. me and Nick go way back, and Brendan's just kind of weasel. He's like the guy you meet, and you're automatically like, have I known this guy for 10 years?
For like,
you're
20 like,
no,
years
I don't know. Yeah.
It's like my life in general. Being the youngest of six kids, you just show up last and take the credit for everything. It's great.
Is that six? Six seems too many.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. I don't know how your parents did it. I have two, and I can barely stand at this point.
If your last name is Quinn and you're from Philadelphia, there's a good chance it's going to be you could field a small basketball team out of your kitchen table. Yeah.
What were the jeans like? Pretty short?
No, not too bad. My older brother is a little bit taller than me. He's about 6'2", 6'3". I'm 6 foot. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Solid high school squad.
Not bad.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right. Not a lot of basketball talent, though. Not a lot of basketball talent. Runners.
You're right.
We're runners. Yes. Runners, yes.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, no, thank you.
Exactly. That's what I said.
I was just informed. I have a lapse in my scheduling, and, you know, God willing that there's no more positive COVID tests. Who knows what's going to happen with this, but Michigan State, Michigan play this weekend in basketball. And I wanted to start out because me and Nick go way back, and Nick was there, but Brendan, where were you when I hit the shot against Michigan State?
Wow. I was, what year was that?
2011. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in a bar in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I've never heard that sentence uttered in my entire life.
I think it's a Johnny Cash lyric.
Stu, I think they need you out there on Saturday afternoon. My God.
Yeah, man.
Things are dire here.
Goodness. I mean, me and my like 35% three-point shooting
got one more would
be really needed.
Let's get you a new hip. You out there, you turn the season around, man.
Oh, give me a new knee and I am brand new. I'll tell you what. I mean, you guys remember, it's like, I literally hit like 23. It was August of right after graduating college, and immediately like done. I got a fracture in my back. My hips went out. It was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
22. Well, that's it. That's a cutoff line.
All those starts you had, Stu, you're like one of the top five start guys or whatever. All the minutes you line wore you out with.
Too many minutes, too much practice. You should have seen. That's why senior year of practice, I didn't do anything. I was like, Trey, you take reps. You need it. You're not good enough.
Like, I'm going to give you all these mental reps. I'm just going to hang out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Beilein was like, yeah, of course, because he's a freshman. Like, let him do it. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
Earn his stripes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that took about 3 days.
How often do you get asked about that shot still?
It's been, I don't get asked about it often, but you know, on social media, when it comes around, I'm sure it, you know, it comes up, annually. It's my mom always reminds me of it too. So,
and that's, I imagine, that's one of those shots. You know what a flashbulb memory is? Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay. A flashbulb memory is one of those events that happens where you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing. Right. So when the planes hit the towers, when all these these insane moments, right? You're like your shot. That's one of those things where everyone goes to you and they don't ask you, I would guess, they don't ask you about the shot, but instead they tell you what they were doing when you hit the shot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%.
And you're like, I could give a shit what you were doing.
Really, I want to hear more from Michigan State fans. I haven't heard any Michigan State fans.
That's a good
one. Because that's my favorite. Like if I hit that shot at home, it would not have felt the same.
That is very true. It's a very different atmosphere in general. Like Stauskas would be able to commiserate, right? Like he would remember. Yeah.
I feel like Stauskas very memorizes, different. Like knows all of his memories. I've blocked out like everything. Like people tell me what happened. I'm like, I don't know what happened then. But like that shot, it definitely is one of my most vivid memories.
Do you remember all of it then? Do you remember like the whole, is it a flashbulb moment for you, like right into the
stripe? Oh, like I remember, I remember shooting it, and then Draymond's massive torso just blocking my view.
Right.
And I was like,
what the hell?
I remember, I think I even like leaned to the left, and I remember it going in, and then I was, I get upset because every time I see the replay, like I had my tongue out, kind of like sticking my tongue out and after I hit the shot, but it cut to me right when I didn't have my tongue out anymore. And I was like, damn, that would have been my Stauskas moment, but I didn't.
That would have been, you would have been selling shirts. I mean, that you would have been selling t-shirts.
100%.
I'm not joking.
Oh, like, nowadays? Oh my God.
You with your tongue out. Yeah, man. 100%. You'd still have a logo. It'd be like Novak with the blood. Remember when Zach had the blood logo for a while?
Oh, they made sure. I think he even made money off that after he graduated.
I bet he did. Yeah. I hope he did. There were shirts all over the place on that for a while.
Yeah.
And I would have to think, I wasn't at the game. Nick, you were at that game?
No, that was the year before I started covering.
Okay.
That was your what, junior year, Stu? I covered the next year.
So I would have
the next season. But I remember have to, all of it. I've heard, you know, read about it all and all that.
Right. I would have to think that the noise, because hitting that shot on the road is the best.
Yeah.
Because the noise is totally different. Because you hear that shot on the road and it's like that collective, like, oh, and like the gasp and the air leaves the build, and it's just like that stunned silence. And then but then the pocket of the bench and like,
yeah, it's your guys on the bench going
crazy. It's just, I think, such a weird scene. Yeah.
One of the best things Michigan State does is they have their students behind both baskets. So like, right. I even like sort of remember like shoulders dipping like a couple inches, you know, like collectively,
Jesus.
All the rows just collectively like, just decompressing. I was like, it was like one of the cooler things that I memorized.
You always hear that, like that that sigh, and then you hear that faint, like, goddamn right, from like, these guys that are like having a hell of a time. That's always a moment. That's always
For sure. And you had, you know, all the students, all the Michigan students that put like at the way top.
Yep.
But
that's right. Yep.
Yeah, that was good. All right. But the basketball part of this, obviously Michigan's had their struggles. They're still figuring out who they are. Michigan State has been looking really good, very confident, very direct. Like, what are you guys seeing in this game if it happens?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're recording this, 4 o'clock on Thursday?
Yeah.
As of the last thing I checked this morning, before our day kind of got spun off its axis a little bit, the report from both sides was game on as of this morning. Michigan went through its test and we're still on pace. I don't know if there's been more or whatever, but you know, the 5-day isolation period for previous positive tests for vaccinated individuals changes the dynamic on like, oh, you pop a positive, you're out for, you know, a week and a half or whatever it might have been. So right now I'm operating under Michigan's playing, but not knowing who's actually available though. So like, that's kind of the moving target right now from what, because basically the threshold for cancellation is 7 players, 1 coach, okay, available. But damn. I was told that
one coach,
even if you have guys who are in theory redshirting, so Michigan does, Will Cheddar and Barnes, right? Though they count. They can count toward your number on the threshold, even if they're technically redshirting.
So you could have 5 players.
So you could technically have 5 players.
And one coach.
And one coach.
That'd be awesome. I mean, not awesome, but it'd be something.
It would be something.
Wouldn't be awesome. That's the wrong word. It'd be horrible.
It'd be horrible. But
yeah. My God.
You know, and you know, in retrospect,
hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. It reminds me of Chris Kaman sleeping on the bench. Do you remember that image?
No.
Like it was like the Lakers. Yes. The Lakers had like 6 guys, and he's full spread out on the bench, just prone, and just like, it's like they're playing the mid game, and he's just playing on the bench.
Well, how many guys is Michigan going to have back, Brendan? Like, because I know they were short.
Wait, I mean, I don't know.
Because we had
you're in such a weird spot here.
Brennan Johns out of guys who are going to play. Brennan Johns and Frankie, right?
It was Brennan Johns. It was Frankie. We're missing one. And Terrence Williams was out.
And Terrence Williams.
For the Rutgers game. So it was basically the starting lineup plus Somebody help me out.
Williams, you just said it.
Somebody help. No, Kobe Bufkin.
Oh, Bufkin. Yeah. What is the protocols? Is it CDC or the Big Ten has their own, and they just adjust it? I don't even know.
I don't know anymore,
it's
man.
Like whatever. Yeah. I think they go by whatever the CDC recommends, and then like they don't tell. I mean, it's like when if they make a change, we find out later.
Usually. Yeah, and that's 7+1 threshold. it's still the team and the school's choice to play or not.
Yeah,
that's not like you have fewer than 7-1 games auto canceled. If the team still wants to play, you can roll.
Yeah, I think that would might be.
But let's operate under the assumption the game's
going to play.
Yeah,
I think they're going to play.
Let's say they're going to play.
This is a weird spot though for Michigan, right? Though because like to me, they still look like a team that's trying to find their like bottom here to try to dig themselves out of whatever they're going through, right?
Yeah.
Like, Stu, you tell me. We were talking before the show. Like when you hit your shot against Michigan State, you guys were 1-6 in the Big Ten, right? Or 0-6, 1-6, something like that.
Something like that.
And, like, you know, you go through those stretches, and that wasn't a bad team. That was a good team that just had to find its like bottom. That's what this Michigan team right now feels like, right? But like,
yeah,
they don't have all their guys. No. I don't know how the hell they're supposed to.
No,
like, it's hard to find that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird spot.
It seemed. I would say maybe one difference between our teams is that we knew exactly what we needed to do. We were just immature and we wanted to point fingers and we were just being selfish. And this team doesn't seem selfish. It's more of like,
that's a good point.
Maybe like, you know, just a lack of confidence and a lack of direction, or, you know, simply Caleb hitting some threes, in a game or two. Like there's just like little things. I do think they do need their full team. That's a huge part of their success, but I would say, overall, it's like them finding themselves, and they're still doing it. Like Hunter, took 16 shots against Rutgers and was more dominant. And you could see like stretches where he was calling for the ball more than I saw previous games. And like, I think they need to keep doing that. Like it's amazing to me that they can't get, you know, I saw a stat yesterday. I was watching the Nuggets game. And then in the first half, it was like when Jokic is double teamed, the Nuggets are 5-for-8. And it was like, why can't Michigan do that? Like, just feed him the ball. Like, just feed him the ball over and over and over again. He's a good enough passer. So I expect they'll keep doing that as time wears on, because I think Hunter's going to start getting a little more upset that he's not getting 16 shots. He'll start calling the ball for the ball more and, you know, getting some of that passion back that he had last year. But, I mean, it's just still like I feel like – maybe Brendan, you can attest to this, or you can speak to this. Like you know what Michigan State's going to look like going into Saturday, but you're not really sure what Michigan's going to look like.
I know. Yeah. You know exactly what Michigan State's going to look like. They're going to be dialed in. They're going to defend the hell out of the ball. They're an elite defense, like top 5 or top 10 in the country. Everyone knows their role. They can shoot from multiple spots. Are turnovers going to kill them? Who knows? But, you know, that's kind of been their black hole so far. And if you need to find something that you can kind of piss away a game with, it's definitely the turnovers. But like, to your point on Michigan there and Dickinson, like, first of all, we can sit here and pick apart the offense like as much as we want. The defense is still the bigger issue, which is like its own thing. And the fact that like the offense is kind of as flawed as it is and the defense is worse is pretty confounding and speaks to like why they are where they are. But to your point, like, the notion of just getting Hunter the ball and him getting up shots. Well, shit. In their 3 Big Ten games this year, they're shooting 32% on threes. They're in their losses this year. It's 1-for-14, 3-for-15, 3-for-15, 1-for-4. Like they are not a good shooting team. And if you're going to talk about being able to load up on your big, well, if you don't need to be defended at the 3-point line, it's going to make it life that much harder on Dickinson to get the look. You can double him. You can dig on him. You can send a second guy. You can help all day, you know, and make his life miserable. Like, how many just clean one-on-one deep post touches does he even get anymore?
No,
they're pretty few and far between.
I've seen. Yeah.
And even those, like, it's oftentimes, you know, he's still getting the ball 12 feet away from the basket and has to kind of do something more than just turn to his shoulder and put up a shot. Like, those looks are not coming. And, you know, last year they had 4 guys shooting over 40% on threes on the court at any given time.
It's crazy.
This year they have maybe one, and that's Devontae Jones, and he's made 11 threes all year.
Yeah.
So it's like every problem compounds, and it just leads to the next problem.
Especially in Big Ten basketball, where it's like the court is so damn small, and that is the whole strategy that all Big Ten teams try to abide by. It's like shrink the court, defend the three, but like we are going to be there helping, and it is not going to be easy. And then when, yeah, you can. But it's funny because even like it doesn't even seem like Michigan's getting a lot of. Well, let's say Caleb is still not getting like a bunch of open threes, but it's still not like great looks, which is a little confusing, but it is that is what teams are giving up. What do you think Michigan State is? How do you think they're going to defend Hunter?
I would think straight up with Bingham. I mean, he is playing really good defense right now, and he's not, hasn't been too foul prone. His length, I think, can bother Dickinson one-on-one. I don't think you need to do anything. I think you can pretty much lock up, you know, straight across the board, five on five. You know, if he gets going early, sure, you can send help, but I don't know why you have to.
Is Michigan like that far away from being like, because they're so athletic, how far away are they from being competent defensively to put themselves in a game then? Because
I don't know, because so much of the question is what are the right rotations to have out there? Like Diabate is a five and they're continuing to play him as a four because he's super talented and you want to get him on the court. But if you get him on the court, then you have to play him with Dickinson. If you're playing those two together.
But like Stu just said it, right? Like the court is in the Big Ten is always, you know, it's shrink the game. They have more length, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It is. I mean, watching that Rutgers game, it was like Ron Harper Jr. came down, hit a three. There was a confusion on a handoff, hit another three, and then it came down and like I think Bufkin just like lost him in semi-transition. And it's like, how is this guy even shooting, getting shots off that aren't
what is like going you aren't on?
In his shorts?
100%.
It's confusing, like just little stuff like that, which again is experience and time, and they might not ever figure out this year. That's fine, but it is fun to think about the amount of growth that they still have. With these freshmen. And just young guys in general, which is unfortunate for guys like Devontae, or you know, if Hunter stays or leaves, what's going to go on with that? But
I think you're right. Those first couple minutes of Rutgers, I mean, I wrote about them in the piece that I wrote that night. Like that was kind of alarming, man, because like you did kind of feel like, okay, I talked myself into thinking when they announced who was out for the game. Let me turn my hair off. When they announced who was out for that game, I did kind of think like, man, this would be a great spot for like, all right, backs are against the wall, right? Yeah. It's us versus everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're going to lock in all that shit, right? We're going to lock in, we're going to do this. And suddenly a different team was going to come out that was just ready to run through a wall. And instead the first 3 minutes, I mean, they were just out to lunch on defense and just giving up open threes. Rutgers, who's a terrible hit shooting team, sees them go in, they start feeling great, the rack is going crazy, and now they start making contested shots on top of that, and then the game just goes off the rails, and they never recovered from the first 3 minutes, and that was it.
It seems like UCF was hitting like crazy shots, like that one kid was just hitting ridiculous shots, but it seems like these teams are coming in, they're like, okay, we're about to cherry pick off of Michigan, like this is going to be a heyday. When you get a college kid, like you can break the psyche of a college kid pretty easy. And when you let him go, when you let him go and you get confident in the first 4 minutes, it's like, it gets harder to break, but like, you want to break that psyche quick and fast and then remind him that he's broken. And so it's like, yeah, there's gotta be some buckling down, but
I love it. It's college like coaching 101 right there, folks.
It doesn't matter. Like if you're guarding, like,
you're right though.
Like if I'm guarding, I would guard Diebler, right? And I wouldn't play any defense besides like just hug Diebler all game and smell his breath basically. And it was like, and I had to sprint full court if he was on the opposite end. And like, I had to go and just get in him and make sure that he knew that I was there, whether or not, I mean, he could still shoot over me. He's 6'6", an amazing shooter, but like, you gotta be like that extra foot every single time. And it is so damn exhausting. It is still exhausting to think about, but it is that extra inch, that extra foot that you like don't realize until really maybe halfway through your freshman year or sophomore year, even sometimes even junior year, like that extra foot, like you have to focus on it or you're just going to forget about it. And then like Ron Baker's or like Ron Harper's just shooting an open three.
And that's a great point then, because it's like, it can't just be about, you can't just effort your way out of it.
No, you can't.
The length, right. The length is better than everyone's, right?
This is
a great point to make.
This is my problem with, especially, and you're going to hear it in this rivalry. Right. I mean, every rivalry game you hear it, like they got to care more. They got to want it more. And it's like, zero to do with playing smart. Like, okay. Yeah.
If you're playing opposite,
like,
right? Yeah.
If like, you know, your high school football player is like, if like they play, you know, like some small town rivalry where like the football players play basketball and vice versa. Like, yeah, that could be effort where it's like 20 to 25. Like these are like elite. These are NBA guys. There's some NBA guys mm-hmm. in this game. It takes a lot more than effort to win. You have to play smart. You have to play. You have to almost play smarter than you play harder. You have to save your energy control. At some points. Like it's way more complicated than just wanting it. And that part gets very frustrating for me. I don't know if you've experienced that in the basketball. I know you do on the football side, Nick, but I don't know if you experienced on the basketball side, Brendan.
I was just reading a release about the company that I work for. Sorry. I got a little bit distracted. I have a question for you, Stu.
Okay.
So I've been trying to marry the idea of, okay, you have a roster with 10 freshmen and sophomores on it. Yeah. And the only upperclassmen, you've got a fifth-year guy in Eli, an up transfer in Devontae Jones, and then two guys in Brandon Johns and Adrian Nunez, who've been around but never had sustained, right, starting primary roles, blah, blah, blah. How do you think people got wrapped up in the talent, or how plausible is it for a roster made up that way to compete at this level?
It's plausible. It's very plausible. It's just as plausible that they're going to have the struggles. Like,
right.
To go off of, and this is what college sports does every year, where somehow people forget about roster turnover. And it's like the last year's team, and then you're going to be ranked, you know, in the top 15 coming in next year. And it's like, why? You have no idea what this team can do. You have zero idea. And I'm not going to pat myself on the back as some Nostradamus, but like, I knew there was going to be a struggle there. Like, if you're going to have Diabate and Houston, and you also have a new point guard, like there was enough struggle there last year, you know, with guys looking at each other, like, are you going to shoot? Are you going to shoot? Like, are you going to dribble right now? And they had all the talent in the world to win an NCAA championship. So like, if you take, you know, some lesser established talent and do the same exact thing, then it's going to be a lot more heartache, a lot more confusion. This is going to be a lot tougher. So like, yeah, it's possible for them to compete for sure. But there is just a lot more to learn. Like defensively, like that point, coming back to that point where Livers and Franz are missed, like where that experience was missed last year is like, especially on the defensive end, like knowing where to be. And that translates into so many other things offensively and like confidence team wise and stuff like that. Like Livers brought a lot more than people realized. You know, I they're like, oh yeah, Livers is good and he does this, and like he's very good. And I'm like, I don't think you guys understand like how important, how integral he is to like a winning team, like to have a senior that can do all that at that size and play both ends. Like it's unspoken, really.
So I guess football and basketball are different, right? Like, but like I can see the similar situation when you have these young teams that are like, if they don't have someone in front, like a veteran voice or something to guide them, it can get really messy because you can't, like Stu's saying, you cannot effort your way out of a quicksand. It makes it worse. Like, that's why we call it quicksand. Like, if you fight harder, you sink faster. And like, that's what I'm starting. Basketball is different than football. You can get out of it a little faster, but I do wonder, right? Like, that's what I see Michigan. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, can they get out of this one way or the other? It's going to take time. It feels like.
I kind of feel time, like,
but you know,
Houston, the difference between Houston and Max Christie,
I think
it underlines the difference of the two teams right now, where they're at. Max Christie and Caleb Houston, their numbers nearly identical. Yeah. Max Christie is shooting 44% on twos, 35% on threes. Caleb Houston shooting 43% on twos, 41% on threes. It's the same.
No, total.
And the volume is just about the same. The difference is that Michigan, right, is in this scenario of like needing to ride a Caleb Houston and needing him to score and make shots. And that if he's not, you know, people are freaking out and saying, man, this guy isn't who he was supposed to be and blah, 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 and picking him apart.
Right.
Whereas Max Christie basically doing the same thing, except the difference is he's with senior Gabe Brown, who was out there just playing as like a, basically a second team, all Big Ten caliber guy right now. He's with senior Marcus Bingham, who is playing the best ball of his career right now. He's with junior Malik Hall, who's playing great, with junior Tyson Walker, who's, you know, had great moments and all that stuff. It all masks the freshman. Where at Michigan right now, anything the freshman does that's wrong just gets, people are hyperventilating over every shot that he takes. Where at Michigan State, just let him go. Doesn't anything he makes, it's gravy. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. If every freshman point guard had a Stu Douglas to back them up, I would have won player of the year. Would Trey won that year? Did he share his trophy with you, Stu?
No, that was the next year. But I still take responsibility for it. But to that point, like, Trey was just a plug and play. Like, there was nothing. For sure.
That was
we're not going to make Trey learn too much defensively. Like, there was times, there was one play I vividly remember, and we watched it over on film. I think I did it once. I remember Novak, there was rotations, and Novak physically pushes Trey to the ball to the corner. Like, you, that's yours. Go do it. But we didn't care. Like, nobody cared. We didn't care. We knew that was going to happen, and he was just going to run the offense.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. We didn't make Trey think. Like, Trey, do the ball and go be Trey. And that was it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, okay, we'll cover up some things defensively. And so this team doesn't have that. Like, Caleb Houston doesn't have that. He's pushed into more of a Nick Stauskas role, you know, when he was going off, like, okay, go do this. It's just going to take so much time. I mean, there's just so much pressure being a five-star, and like, there's so many things that weigh on his mind that like we forget, like that five-star, like that, like those expectations coming in.
Oh yeah.
Where he has to sit with that every day. And like, where you just get to watch him shoot a couple shots and you're like, well, not today. And then you go about your life. Like, he's sitting with it and stewing in it. And it's not fun.
And I would feel like the lottery projection is even a heavier weight than the five-star rating.
Yeah.
I mean, he was projected as like the eighth pick in the draft coming into this year. And, you know, I check our guy, Sam Vecini, updated his mock draft today. Caleb's down to like 28 or something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think that gets to him?
It all plays a factor. Yeah.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot. And, you know, yes, he is age-wise, he's at a freshman, but he did skip a year of high school.
Did he?
Yes.
I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I was like,
wow,
these six-year guys, or even if like I was a fifth-year guy, like if I was 23 or 24, I was vastly different mentally at 23, 24 than I was at 22. Oh, like, God. Every year is so important. I don't understand why these guys skip. I guess if you're that close. I'm a lottery projection, I'm skipping high school. Like, okay, fine. Yeah, that makes sense. But still.
Yeah, right. You're not moving up to play college ball. You're moving up to get to the draft earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's – yeah, but that's still not easy on those guys. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. All right. That's enough basketball. Nick, I wanted to ask you before we get into some fun stuff at the end. About the football team, and basically I listened to your guys' podcast for most of it, about recapping kind of Michigan State rivalry and stuff in the year and football, and you mentioned how it was one of the best years to cover. Like, do you think it was
the most
fun year to cover football wise
it was? I think it was, by far. And not just because, you know, they went to the playoff and one team won the Big Ten or whatever, but I got to see, you know, I covered both a little bit, so I did Michigan State and Michigan. So you know, and Brendan knows a little bit about this too. Like, we followed it sort of as it kind of built up, you know. No one expected them to be good, including us. No one expected that to happen. And then, like, after a couple weeks, it was like, hey, man, like, I think they could maybe accidentally both be undefeated playing each other. I don't know. It's like stranger shit has happened. Mm. And then, you know, for me, I I kind of thought after like week two or three that that was probably going to happen, because I thought they were both like, I was like, okay, they're way better and way further along in some areas than I thought they were going to be. And it was a really fun year to watch because you had guys on both sides. Like, still, you'll appreciate this. Like at Michigan, you had like Bastardus, the center, who was a sixth year kid. He's like 24 years old. Like you're saying, it meant the world to him. And he was like, you know, so dedicated to it. And that fed off into other guys. And Michigan State had the same thing going with, like, you know, Kenneth Walker was infectious for them and everything else. It was good stories. Like Brandon and I talk about that all the time. Like, all we root for is a good story, and it was good stories all over the place. So it was a lot of fun to watch, you know, those journeys kind of unfold. The off season isn't fun, but for anyone wondering, but you know, this in season was pretty cool.
Well, what did you go to the bowl game?
Yeah, I was there. I went to the Orange Bowl. Yeah.
So how was that?
It ended in a fun.
How was that reaction?
So I will say this, the atmosphere, I think it was like, I would say like 75% Michigan fans, 70-30 maybe somewhere in there, down there that spent the money to go. I think most people probably would tell you they enjoyed their trip. You know, they got to go and do the whole playoff thing and everything else. And then it was over after about four plays, because it was like, okay, not even close. Like, Georgia was so much talent-wise. It was pretty obvious. It was weird because like the whole fourth quarter of the stadium was like empty because all the Michigan fans like went home. So it was just like one corner of Georgia fans, because all the Georgia fans were like, we've done this like five times. They don't care anymore. It's just like, whatever. Like, that's so indicative of college football, right? The people that were excited to be there got the shit kicked out of them. The people that were like, whatever, win by 30, whatever, move on. But yeah, that was what it was. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I don't want to be negative. It was a hell of a year, but that was like, damn. Like,
it was a bad end.
Could we have just, a little bit. So what, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the quarterback situation. And if, you know, predictions are obviously dumb, but
year, what's your prediction?
The whole year, I'm going to kind of try and twist it a little bit. The whole year, it was like, these guys are selfless. This is why we're having success. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada, yada. And that is probably very true. Like 100%, like it had to work. If that had to work, or if it worked, so that had to be true.
Yeah.
But years change, months change, agendas change, like goals change. Like, is that going to be able to work again?
Not like that. No, I don't think it'll work exactly like that. You know, I mean, like as someone who, you know, Stu, you would know this better than anybody. As someone who lived the experience of going from team to team in a college environment, it's never the same. One team, the next team, everything is different. Everything is different. So you're 100% right. When the calendar changed, when that season ended, everything in that dynamic changed. It went from J.J. McCarthy pushing Cade McNamara every day behind him, Cade McNamara preparing J.J. McCarthy behind him, working together, and now they're like, they're going to compete. And like, you know, Harbaugh's doing his little song and dance right now, but if and when he comes back, you know, they're gonna have a cage match, as he likes to say. I mean, that's what's going to happen, and one of them's going to win and one of them's not. I think that's how it's going to play out. If they try to do it where they share it, again, that is going to be a challenge. I don't know if that's going to work, because as you saw in that bowl game, you know, McCarthy's not going to sit there, I don't think, and wait. And, you know, I don't think McNamara was too thrilled with being pulled. So, yeah, I think both guys are going to rise to it and somebody's going to win it. That's what I think is going to happen here.
Like, I'm just picturing I like, even if like my best friend in the world, or like if my brother was the starting quarterback in front of me and he has that bowl game against Georgia, I'm McCarthy and I'm like, oh, I think I could have done better. It's like, that's just natural. That's just,
they're going to go at it. Yeah. I mean, like, I think that they knew it all year. I think that they're a different, you know, like Harbaugh likes those two a lot because they're a little bit like him and that they're kind of crazy.
Make it work.
Which may make it work. But like, I do think that everyone sort of understood that that was a pretty unique situation that they were able to pull off, and to expect that to work again that way would be foolish, you know, I think. So you're going to have to find a way to evolve that into something one way or the other. And that's just how the game works now, you know, like that's, if you want to recruit like that, you know, that's how it goes. So
Yeah, I guess you can kind of get away with it in college a little bit more, but
yeah.
The good thing is everyone's going to take it in stride.
In stride, yeah.
And not, you know,
no mistakes will be made.
Not obsess every day in July about who's going to be the starting.
Well, I told Brandon, if, of course, you know, Harbaugh will just shut spring off and be like, we're canceling everything. You guys can't see anything. That's what I do. And we just won't see anything until like August. If that's what, yeah, I mean, you know, like that's how I would expect it to go. Yeah, there's a lightning storm in the spring game. We're canceling it. Sorry, you guys can't see anything. And we just won't until August. I could be wrong.
But. Yeah, but then you know what happens, baby. That's when it's going to be, I'm hearing from camp.
Yeah, right.
So-and-so. McNamara looks like
camp, you know,
Tom Brady out there.
Oh, is there anything worse than camp thoughts? Or
hold on. Yeah. Thoughts? Who is that? Football has it worse than basketball. And Nick, I know you've experienced
it. Oh, it's insane. It's
like there's some insider, and he's like a accountant in Grand Rapids, and he knows everything. And it's like, and then he's like not a cool or nice guy, but then he'll have like his camp of people that support him and be like, yo, Jeff over here has never been wrong. Just listen to him. And it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, never been wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like
this guy's a perfect sane person, but in this part of his life, for some reason, he's going to believe this lunatic. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm hearing this backup guard, this guy.
Coming along.
He is coming along nicely.
Switch is turning. They're going to have a lot of talent next year, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
And they're going to be what? Preseason number
three? Hey, if everybody's back and, you know, all this, yeah, they'll be top 10 for sure, I would think.
And they're going to lose how many guys to the NFL?
I mean, they'll lose some. You lose Hutchinson. You lose Ojabo.
How many draft picks total, including, like, graduating guys?
I don't know, like 5, 6.
Oh, okay. Nothing crazy.
Draft picks. Yeah, something like that. I don't think it's too much more. I wouldn't think it would be terribly, but they have a lot of young guys who played a ton. So like that's a ton of young guys played a lot this year. So I think that'll help them quite a bit.
Yeah. Again, expectations will be sky high.
Yeah, they'll be very high. I don't know if they'll be able to reach those, but yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the head coach, Nick?
you. I think it'll be Jim Harbaugh, but I guess, you know, I mean, hey, I don't speak for him. I don't pretend to know.
I'll be like senior water boy for the wide receiver coach for like however much they're paying those guys.
I just want everyone to know that
I'm pretty sure that's 6 figures at Michigan
at least. And I keep getting emails to donate to Michigan. I'm like, stop. No. Yeah. Stop. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, not happening.
I don't get it.
Not unless you can get some retroactive NIL juice.
Exactly.
Unlocked in blood.
All right. I'm going to end it here. I want to talk some podcast stuff because I just saw a comment on a website that will go unnamed. It was in the comments section. Always fun.
God.
But basically, it called me more immature than a high schooler. And I got a real kick out of that one. Yeah, that was big. That was real love for me.
Yeah.
So then I went through your guys' comments section on the Beat podcast. And I wanted to read off. get your reactions. I got about 4, possibly right. 5. Okay. So we got some good ones. Let's do some quick reactions. Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Like Nick, the first one's for you. Okay. This is a three star review.
Oh, Jesus. 3 stars.
Okay. Great content. Okay. Good start. Yeah. But the pointless, annoying, inexplicably laughing from Nick makes some episodes unlistenable.
I mean, like, that's just part of what you're going to have to deal with, folks.
Listen, I think that speaks to
story of my
your
life.
Hilarious co-host.
Yeah.
Shit.
Not giving you enough credit.
For a stand-up comedy routine? Yeah, that's a good point. Story of my life.
Okay.
3 stars.
This one's a 4-star.
Ooh, I like that.
This one's a 4-star, and it was glowing. It was a glowing review. It was like they loved it, very nice, but I don't know why it was only 4 stars, but they really liked it. Listen every week. But they had to add this about BQ. It should be noted that BQ knows nothing about football. I mean, nothing. But he's upfront about that. And he wanted potential listeners to know that.
It should be noted. At least he's not lying about it, but I'm going to note it right here in this section.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I love it.
Listen, there's nothing worse than the guy faking it, man. Like preposterous.
Yeah.
Like, and I watch a lot of football. I enjoy the game. Like, I know enough, but like, I'm not gonna pretend. The biggest problem with me with covering college football, why I could never do it? I can't remember all these guys. There's way too many players.
Yeah, right.
There's way too many people. I don't care about
too much going on.
Like basketball's where it's at, man.
Oh, I mean, I've heard of
a lot less to focus on.
I've heard of football coaches just call guys by number because they don't remember their names.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's like usually how all college football programs like collapse when the coach has lost all relationship with the team and it only knows like seven guys on the team.
It's
and it's like, well, this point. Team sucks, right? Yeah. Right. It's inevitable at some point. Good point.
See, I was under the impression that my just complete obliviousness was part of the charm of the show.
I'm right. I think that's what he was noting. Well,
I will say you guys have 4.7 out of 5, and people do find it charming. Pretty good. So it's
Stu. We once had an hour long show where Nick only explained to me how offensive lines work. It was the entire show.
You know what? I bet people loved it.
We actually got good feedback on that. It was like we did how the offensive line works and how I watch football. It was just like what I look for or whatever. Like,
this was pandemic content. We had nothing else to talk about.
But hey, man, that's how we try to write sometimes. It's like, you know, we're learning about this stuff the same as anybody else.
Yeah.
That's what my advice usually with younger writers these days, where it's like, you got to learn about the game. Like if you don't know what you're talking about, you're an idiot. I mean, you better have something else.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't.
And be open and honest about it. Like absolutely. If you're just acting like, you know, everything, you're just going to sound like an
will
asshole.
Tell you stuff. Yeah. Right.
Oh,
yeah,
I got a few indie star writers. I know do that. It's so annoying.
Oh no.
I think you know who I'm talking about. Okay, next. This is a very good one. Okay, it's 3 stars, which is, I don't know how you guys got 3. It's the title of it says flawed. Okay,
flawed. Okay,
how stupid is it to have a podcast where half the time is spent talking about a team your audience hates? RPM was a far superior product, and I still don't understand why they got rid of it. Baumgartner's Baumgartner is excellent, probably one of the best college football writers in the country, but Quinn is a disaster.
Oh, no.
Alternating between dumbfounded ignoramus and braying donkey, I cannot sanction his buffoonery. I listen because I feel like I have to, not because I want to.
Hey, that's a ride or die with this guy right here.
Subscribe to The Athletic, bro. Thanks, man.
Hey, your ad dollar is the same whether you like me or not. I don't really care.
All good. All good. We got 5-star reviews in there, don't we? I hope.
A buffoon.
I feel like if you're – oh, they're all 5 stars. I just had to pick out some good ones. But I feel like if you're liked by everyone, you're just boring.
That's true.
I agree.
You got to have some
– I would agree with that.
Like, what's the point of life trying to go through being
– And I often feel like the people that dislike us, like, I probably wouldn't like that person in real life anyway, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
And they know it, too. And they know it. They know it every time they know it.
I quit.
And it just kills them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And they go back.
Yeah. It's just like, that's your problem, not mine.
Wait. So, Stu, I thought that you were just a beloved podcaster. I assumed as much. I mean, you're like,
are you getting hate, Stu?
I did not know you were getting hate.
I don't. I mean, I don't get hate on the regular, but there's definitely like, you know, I will talk about like Michigan and tradition and some of the things that I don't like or I find flawed in some areas. And then it's like, I have just, you know, burned down their childhood house. And it's like, I think you guys should maybe, I mean, I don't want to be arrogant, but it's like, I'm giving you a true perspective. I'm not like bullshitting or fluffing it up or trying to like say something crazy. Like I'm giving you a real thought. And yeah, I have my biases and my insecurities that come into every thought that I say, just like everybody else. But like, I'm not trying to get out here and I'm not Skip Bayless. I don't have like, I'm not making a bunch of money doing this. Like, I'm not trying to like make a career. Like, I'm just giving my opinion.
And you just lose your
There's mind. Always going to be that segment of folks who just want to be told that their team is special and that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And especially when it's coming from one of their heroes, which is you.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Right. Break hearts.
I haven't been a hero in a while.
Good minute.
You're out here telling the fan base that there's no Santa Claus, for God's sake, Stu.
Sometimes it feels like that. But no, it's not overall that bad, and I am not that cynical. But, I mean, if I would have done this podcast at, like, 23, I would have been a little different. More.
That would have been fun. We should have done that.
That would have been spicy. That would have been great.
That would have been some hangover there, for sure.
I would have been tuning in from that bar in Chattanooga. I would have had my Walkman out.
Honestly, hey, if they would have paid me, if they're like, hey, Stuart, come on the Big Ten Network and you got a cushy job and you can say whatever you want, I would have done it. But that's not what this is. Yeah. Actually, that's not true. I still wouldn't have done it. I can't. Yeah, I cannot be like that. It's just impossible. You can't keep that up.
You do it once, but yeah, not
you
everyone.
Do it once, and you're like, I feel gross. I feel super gross. sometimes it works the opposite, where like you'll go on, and you're so buttoned up. Like when we were taught how to speak to the media.
Oh God, yeah.
And I would say things, and I'm like, I didn't mean a damn word I just said to Nick. Like, I didn't.
What was that? Yeah, right.
It's like I couldn't say anything, and that's some things that you definitely don't want to say. But like, you still go like walk away like, oh, I am not myself. It feels weird.
Yeah. That was a complete lie.
Yeah. It goes.
That's always the best. So when like
we can always tell. Don't worry.
When you would be guys would be or when they you've known them from freshman year on, and then they're upperclassmen, right? You have an actual rapport. You have a real relationship, and you can kind of have a conversation, and you know, no one's going to get burned for unless you want it out there, right?
Right.
One of those types of deals. Like that's kind of what's missing. That's a lot of what's missing in this current era that we're dealing with. Yeah. That there's no access. There's no real conversations. No one sees each other. No one talks like, kind of people used to. And all that's gone, man. It's not great. It makes the job much, not only harder, but
less connected to a lot.
It's like that. There's just that wall, where you just feel like you're coming from a place where you can't quite have the level of confidence of knowing what you know. What I mean? That's a bummer for sure.
It seems like you're going to have to rebuild those all over again. Maybe not.
Well, if the schools let us in, that's TBD in a big way.
Yeah, that's going to take a long time, especially when they've gotten used to not letting people in. It's like, this is what we've been doing.
And are thoroughly enjoying this, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of these folks.
My experience is if they take something away, they don't ever give it back. That's what I've always told everyone for years. And it usually...
That is a very good point.
Usually holds up.
Yeah. I have another good vivid memory in that sort of realm. A shoulder dropper. And it was my senior year. And I think it was before the Michigan State game or right after we beat them at home. I don't remember which one, but we were outside in Chrysler, like right behind the north basket and huddled around. And somebody asked me a question like, we just won. Like, you guys just won. Like, what does this mean for the season? And something, like big, like it was like, so I was supposed to give a big answer. And I was like, you guys are going to hate me, but like, it's a clean game. And like, I think I remember like Nick's face, like turning down and like Schneider, like rolling his eyes and like people like, oh, we shouldn't have asked.
Come on, this dude, for crying out loud. Yeah.
I gotta write something in 20 minutes and I need you to just That's give one good quote for me to turn this thing around. Yeah. No.
It was
we got it from
funny.
Someone. We probably got it from like, Novak probably gave it to us. Or whoever else was on that team that was young.
Timmy would give some good stuff.
Tim would do it. Yeah.
Yeah. He would give you like just the
we probably got it from Tim.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stu, what was worse, that or the experience of never having reporters in your post-game locker room all year long until you lose in the NCAA tournament and then you turn around and suddenly there's a flood of reporters walking into your locker room?
They did. Beilein shut it off after Stu graduated.
Oh, you guys had locker room.
It was awesome.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
I loved it. I felt like I was an NBA player. I was like, this is great.
They all liked it. Everyone, I think, right? Everybody seemed to like it.
Nobody cared. Like,
there were some guys that didn't like
some other guy for what they wrote, but it's like, I don't know, grow up. Like, you didn't play well last game or something. I don't know. There's some certain people, but like, everybody was great and it was fun. It added to the atmosphere of like, what you pictured yourself as a kid playing basketball and like the other stuff. And like that rolled right into the whole big picture part of it. And like, I don't know, it was cool. I was upset to hear that.
And yeah, it was right after you guys.
Teams are doing that more. I don't know.
They brought all those freshmen in and they were like, yeah, that's enough of that.
Yeah, I think there was definitely, Coach K and the freshmen. Uh-huh. Like, I think Beilein definitely has a lot of that as well. So
that's what changed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Juwan just doesn't care, I don't think, one way or the other.
Are they back?
Yeah. I mean, it would be, no, I mean,
well not to COVID. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
In year one, though, that was not open.
Yeah.
that was, you know, non-pandemic situation. But I always just find it funny, these, you know, teams that have these this buttoned up access. And then when you get to the most important games of the year in the NCAA tournament, yeah, suddenly these guys are surrounded and you just see these dudes are like, what the hell's going on? Where are all these people coming from? Like, well, maybe if you prepared these guys during the year, it wouldn't be total shell shock when
right,
you get to the biggest stage.
And to that point, like, it could be extreme, but like, you're teaching your young college kids, these teenagers, like how to deal with other people. And that's a huge part of it. How to talk to other people, how to talk to other people in public, especially if you want to have NBA guys, like,
right. Yeah.
Yes.
Get them right. And it's not, I mean, what is a kid going to say? Like, F Bingham, like, okay, whatever. Like, what's that going to cause? It's going to cause guys to be more into it. I don't know. Like, it's not really a big deal otherwise, unless he's like coming out and talking crap about Juwan, but everybody loves Juwan. Like, nothing bad is really going to come. And this is not a slight on Juwan, like, at all.
Sure.
But yeah, I think overall, like, it is very good for kids to do that, because I play with a lot of guys that just, you know, and myself as well, like, you just learn how to talk to people and that you've been in experiences you never had. And it opens up you for other occasions. Like, I told people, like, I've gone to this job hunt, and I am a very introverted person, but I have perfected the art of small talk, and it has helped me. It's helped me beyond belief in the job hunt and what I, you know, and I think going into, you know, my job. So it is a huge, crucial part of being a human being. Like, if you want to deal with other people, it is massive. So
I agree with that. Good point.
Yeah.
Well said. Brandon's not very good at that, though.
I'm not good at small talk.
Maybe you are. I don't know. Probably.
I don't know if I'm good.
Brandon goes big, quick. He goes quick. Right into it.
Get right to the point.
One of the all timers was in 2000. Oh shit! What would that have been? 18, the year when all hell broke loose up at Michigan State. Like, Cassius Winston, who was a sophomore at the time, ended up being like the spokesman for the like entire program and the athletic department. Yeah. Like, he was unbelievable. Like, he was so well, like, so well thought out in everything that he said. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, Izzo just was not handling it well at all on the podium. At like any game, you're just like, holy hell, what is going on right now? And then you go talk to Cassius and you would just be like, this guy is going to be like the mayor of Detroit, or like the governor of Michigan. This kid's unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
He was an all-timer, man.
No, for sure. Yeah. You would have missed out on that. That would have been sad.
Exactly. Exactly. And so would a Michigan State.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Cause they needed any help. They
could get. Yeah, right. What's your pick for Saturday, Stu?
I am terrible better. Let's check the spread. Oh, they don't even. That is not up. Okay.
36 hours away. Ken Palm has it as Michigan, Michigan by 2.
Really?
Yes.
At home.
So, like, Michigan's metrics are still pretty good, all things considered.
The thing is, you're going to know in the first 8 minutes. Roughly
fair.
4.
That's fair.
But I will say, yeah, I could go with Michigan by 2. I mean, they're right there. It's plausible to beat this team no matter what happens. And if you get guys back, who knows? So
stranger thing.
I would be more comfortable saying this. They play them again, right? Later. I would be more comfortable the second time.
January 29th, but that one's in East Lansing.
Yeah, let's go Michigan by 2. I like that. I'm gonna stay positive.
There you go.
Fair.
All right. Fellas, this was awesome as always.
Good time to wrap this up. Nick and I have to go hop on another call.
Oh, we do actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's at 5 o'clock. We, Nick and I have been sold like the whores we are.
without our consent.
We're going to keep that in the podcast. Right. Ray, the producer. Yeah, well, that'll be his distraction. All right, guys.
Yep.
We'll have to do another one of these soon enough.
Yeah, man. This is fun.
You got it, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.